Okay, today's daf is daf kuftes, somewhat easier selling today. And we're starting on kufchet on vet, right at the bottom line, zakter helik mishnah. Continuing now with implications of marriage of a ketana, hamigaresh et ha'isha ve'hechzira, muteret liyavan. Normally, somebody goes ahead, divorces his wife, and now he remarries her, and now he dies. In this case, there's no problem. And she goes and she gets married to the Yavam the way she always would, even though one might think, but what about the period during which she was Megureshet? From that, she should be basically Asura as an Eshetach forever. So even though now this new marriage creates a new relationship, which is a Mechai of her now and Yibam from it, it should be like an Erva falling to Yibam. But you see, that would be dependent on the status of Yibum being an extension of her status at any point during the course of her relationship with the brother. And we had an idea like that before, and it's called Nisuim HaRishonim Mapilim. In other words, if we would hold that the relationship at the moment of marriage to the brother is really where the incipient Yibum begins, and that anything that happens in the interim is going to affect her status vis-a-vis that Yibum, you'd be absolutely correct. However, since the Tani here holds, and we've been assuming it came out 99% of the time throughout this Masechta, that Yibum is something that is defined as a Chiev, and its status is therefore defined at the moment of the death of her current husband, since over here, at the moment of death, she was married to him, and is Chayevis in Yibum, the question of her status in the interim is really irrelevant. And therefore comes along the Mishnah to say, look, the bottom line is, right now she's married to him. The fact is that she was Asura to him before, but every Yavam. Every Yavama is Asura to her Yavam until the moment that the brother dies. Nonetheless, Rabbi Elazar says that no, once she was in that kind of position, she can no longer now be mityabemet. Now, it's not clear exactly what that means, Oser, and that therefore there's nothing, there's no chalitza either. Is it that Rabbi Elazar holds indeed that the Nisrim HaRishonim Mapilim, and therefore, the fact that she became Asura during the time of the relationship means that now she's permanently Asura. All of this remains to be seen because the Mishnah gets a bit more complex. Now, first, we make a statement that seems rather obvious. So let's say we have now a Yitoma, who's a Ketana, and it could be that her father is legally alive, but he's not legally a father in the sense of being able to marry her off. For instance, he had already married her off once. But in any event, somebody now who was married to a ketana who could have been mima in it, but wasn't, and he went ahead and gave her a get. Then he takes her back, and now he goes ahead and dies. There too, muteret liyavam, there'd be no problem, because taking her back, whether she was a ketana at the time he took her back or a gedola at the time to take her back, it makes absolutely no difference. The only question is, at the time that he died, is she his wife? There's no problem about the fact that before there was some question as to her status. She's certainly not going to be worse off than the case of the Gedola, who he was Machzir as a Gedola. Now here comes the interesting case. What about, now here too, Rabbi Elazar Oser, just like he did in Eresha. How about in a case where Ketana Shisiya Avia Minidgarsha Gietoma B'chayehav? How about when her father was there to marry her off, so that indeed that was a true marriage, Midiraisa, he was Megarisher, and the father is Makabal to get. Now he marries her again. This time he marries her, since the father no longer has rights, even if he'd be alive. This time he marries her through the Kiddushin Durabana, which could have been terminated by Miyun. And now he dies. Ooh. In this case, there's a serious problem. Because, you see, she really was Asura Midiraisa because of being Esha Ta'ach to any of the surviving brothers. The Yibum that she's Chayeves, she isn't Chayeves at all, Midiraisa, because she's not married Midiraisa now. In this case, we've got a real problem. She remains Asura as an Erva. And over there, of course, everybody would agree, both the Tanakama and Rabbi Elazar, that of course you cannot do Yibum on her. She's a true Erva. Omar, Eifa, so Eifa said, let me explain to you Rabbi Elazar's reasoning. My time, Rabbi Elazar. Ho ve'amda lav sha'ah achat b'isura. Being as at one point, at the moment of the Gerishin, or during the period of the Gerishin, she was Nizakaris, at that point she becomes now permanently a Nerva. Omer le Rabbana la'ifa, if that's the way you understand it, say the Rabbana, nihochi chalitza nami lotiboy, then what you're saying is that she's Ptura from Yibum, basically because she's an Eshetach shelo b'makom mitzvah. If that's the case, she certainly should not require chalitza. And she if you're going to try to tell me, well, absolutely, that's the case. I'm sorry to tell you that Rabbi Elazar Amru, that Rabbi Elazar is quoted as saying that she does require a chalitza. Choletzet. Whoops. Whoops. Rabbi Elazar lo yadana maitana. I really don't understand Rabbi Elazar. Forget it. That really makes no sense. Omer Abaye, Abaye says, so let me explain it. Heinu taima, the Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar basically has a safek. Mesapkele imita, mapelet nisuin arishonim mapilin. So he's not sure whether the moment of death is the moment that's b'chai of the yibum, or whether the initial marriage already creates the state which then blossoms into yibum at death, so that all along there's really the relationship that needs to be defined in terms of her yavama. So if that's the case, if indeed we only have to look at the moment of death, so then of course there would be no problem in either of the first two cases, and she would require real yibam. On the other hand, if we're going to say that it's the status all along, so then and she's already had canceled out chiyuv of yibam because of the fact that she was an eshetach during the period of the gerushin. Since I don't know what to do, she may be chayevet yibam, therefore we need chalitza. On the other hand, she may be an erva, and therefore yibam itself is also. Rava Amar, Rava disagrees with this explanation, and he says, Liolam Pshita L'Rabbi Elazar D'Mitama Pelet. I believe that that's not the issue at all, but that actually it is clear that Rabbi Elazar holds that Mitama Pelet, which is the normative way of looking at the idea of Yibam. The problem over here is perception. Everybody knows that she was divorced. That gets around very quickly. But what does not get around is the fact that he took her back. And therefore, what people will see is that this guy's going out and doing Yibam with his brother's ex-wife, which of course would be an Issacharis. Because of that, Rabbi Elazar said, you're not allowed to do Yibam, even though you're really chayiv in Yibam. And therefore, go ahead and do Chalitza, since there's really a chayiv. Says the Gemara, I don't get it. Why would that be true? Adarabah, Chazarak, even the Yatva Tutayit, like Kala. If anything, I mean, isn't the opposite true? If somebody is remarried, I mean, so people know that they're remarried, they've been living together, it's an unusual thing, and so on. I mean, they once had been divorced. But certainly more likely that people now know what her status is in terms of being remarried. Says the Gemara, that may be true in a regular case, but Milo Askinan, I mean, there certainly could be imaginable cases where the Ahadra Begurta B'Shocha B'Tzafra, he married her that night in a small ceremony, died in the morning, and goes right ahead now, the brother goes right ahead and does Yibam. Nobody knows about the remarriage. And so because of that, well, we can't start making differences between one case and another. And so because of the Chashash, and people will think that somebody's doing Yibam with a brother's ex-wife, we ask in all such situations, even where it was well known. Okay, so now we have two possible explanations. Either it's suffic, or it's simply a gzera. There's a third explanation. It's very simple. Rabbi Elazar says, look, is there not a case, which is the final case in the Mishnah? The final case in the Mishnah is where the original marriage was b'diraisa, and indeed, she became now a erva, the moment that it was meyabim her forever, to the brothers. He went ahead now and married her midrabbanan, and that is only a derabbanan chiyuv of yibum. It certainly cannot stand against the iser d'oraisa chorus of an erva. Because of the fact that people may not, I mean, that's an interesting thing. Not everybody really concentrates on it. So they may say, well, listen, it's always, we remember plenty of other cases of remarriages after a divorce. It all goes according to the status at the time of the death. Undoubtedly, that's the case here. So it'll come to be matir on Issacharis. Because of that, Rabbi Elazar says, look, let's make a gezeira that all cases of remarriage after divorce, we are machayev chalitza, because, of course, 99% of those cases there is a real chiyuv of yibam, but we cannot allow yibam because of the rare cases in which the original marriage had been a d'oraisa and the subsequent marriage was only a d'rabbanan. And you know what, says the Gemara Chinami Mistarba, that is such a reasonable approach. Because if you take a look at the continuation of the Mishnah, K'tani Seifa, K'tana Shisiya Aviyav Nidgashah Ki Toma B'chaya Avich Zira, Divrei HaKosha Asur Liyavam. Okay, that final case. I mean, that is a childishly simple case, isn't it? I mean, Hai Maila Meimra. I mean, what's the chiddush? Pshita. Obviously, if she had originally been married to Yoraisa and she became now a divorcee who is as surah le'olam as an eshes achiv shalom b'mokam mitzvah to any brothers, and she was never married again with Yoraisa, I mean, obviously she can't get yibum. The only possible reason to have brought in this case is because it was relevant to the previous cases, and that therefore time of the Rabbi Elazar to gaza hanach mishum ha'ish ma'mina. It must be that the Mishnah is bringing up this case so that we can understand by highlighting it what Rabbi Elazar's reasoning was. I'm always afraid of confusion with the case where the second marriage is not valid, really, midiraisa, where the first case was ma'mina. Tani Kavasi the Rav Ashi, and we also have a Beferish of Brisa that says it exactly like that. And if that's the case, she's now the second moment that she gets that gerushin because her father no longer has rights. And now the father, the original husband, comes back and in taking her back, he's only able to take her back. And again, as we mentioned earlier, according to most Rishonim, this is true even if she was Makabela's Kedushin herself. So over there, certainly everybody agrees, Shasur Liyava. Why is she Asur Liyava? Mipneshi Gerushia Gerushin Gumurim. The original Gerushin, which Asur her permanently as her brother's divorcee, his ex-wife, that's a Diraisa. But in Chazarata, which is taken as a Ketana, that marriage, that Chazara, it's not a Chazara Gumura, it's only basically a Rabbonic fiction. So now this would only be true if, of course, the remarriage was as a ketana, was a yesoma. But let's say that he was megarish as a ketana, and then she grows up and he remarries her as a gedola, or inami chzira kishi ketana, or maybe he remarried her as a ketana, but they continue to grow together, and at this point she's married to him in Yerais, and then he dies. So in that case, of course, which is basically the first two cases in the Mishnah, Ocholetzito mitya bemet, this being the Tanakhama Sfar, we have no problem. Since Mita is Mapelet, so at the time of the death, she was married to Midiraisa, she's Chayevas in Yibum. And however, and here Rabbi Elazar and the Braita makes it very clear what his logic is. Mishum Rabbi Elazar Amru, Choletzit velo mitya bemet. So as a continuation of the initial case, in other words, we say, Modim Chachomim Rabbi Elazar Yitoma B'chayav. So apparently that is the center of our discussion. And Rabbi Elazar is saying, well, if that's the case that you're modim, then you shouldn't have been matir in a case where there was a kedushin that was diraisa, the second chazora, or if the same is the equivalent of the first one, you shouldn't have been saying that we can go ahead and do yibum because it's easy for people to confuse. So this is clearly uraya to Rav Ashi. Well, I mean, a rava mirav nach. All of these cases, we've been talking about only a single Yavama. How about if there was also another woman that was involved? And basically the brother had married not only her, the Chazara, but he was also married to another woman who was a Tzara. What would be the din of Tzara Tama? What's the din of that Tzara? According to Rabbi Elazar, can the Tzara of this woman, and who was essentially an Eishes Achshalav Mokam Mitzvah, and were Goyzer on her because of a case where she was really an Eishes Achshalav Mokam Mitzvah and not gotten married, but Midiraisa. But how about where she got married Midiraisa and she has a Tzara? Would we also say that neither of them are allowed to get Yibum? Amar Leis Rav Nachman said to Rava, of course not. I mean, over there, he goof Gzera. The whole reason we don't allow herself to go ahead and to get Yibum is because of the problem of the Yesema B'chaya Av, who now gets remarried as a Ketana, whereas before she was a Gedela, a Diraisa. So we're going to, how far do you want to take this Gzera? Don't allow the Tzara, because after all, someone may then allow the actual first wife, and that first wife, of course, really she is allowed for Yibum, but in the rare case where she was a wife, first wife Midiraisa, and now a wife Midirabonan, so therefore we should ask her also the Tzara, two steps. Certainly we're not going to do something like that. Says the Gemara, but Tani Mishum Rabbi Elazar Amru, that Rabbi Elazar was quoted as saying, Hivet Tzara Techoletzet. Both of them can do only chalitz, is what it seems to say. I mean, obviously, it can't mean exactly the words that it says. Hivet Tzara Tama. We never give two women chalitza. So how can it say she and the Tzara? I mean, you give chalitza to one or the other is the halacha. Elalav, what we have to understand this as meaning is, ohi, o Tzara Techoletzet, that if there was another woman, so then either of them requires chalitza, not yibum. So if that's the case, apparently, we do make a gezera like gezera in this case. Says the Gemara, look, the language was wrong anyway, right? You had to correct it and change it. So lav teritzah come to ratzta. You've already gone in and changed the lashon of the braisa. You might as well go all the way and teritzah. This is the correct way to change the braisa. Instead of saying hivet sarata choletzet, change it to read hi choletzet sarata choletzet omit yabem. So now, if you've got over here an unclear text, then if you're going to need correction, how can you use your assumed correction as bringing a kasha against me? Let's do the correction the right way, which is the assumption that I was making in how I taught it. Okay, so to summarize, we have a situation over here in which normally we look always according to the status at the time of death, and there's only one case where we wouldn't, where it's the status at the time of death was a drabanan, but the status at the time of the divorce was a diuraisa. But because of that one time, Rabbi Elazar says, look, we always got to worry about people getting confused with that, and therefore we should never allow Yibum to follow the status at the time of death as if it were diuraisa. Now, of course, we had the other explanations, which is, Rabbi Elazar really wasn't quite clear, and he was misupak about how it is that whether mitah is mapelet or mitah is not mapelet. And then we had the other approach, Rava's approach, which is the question of whether people may not realize that she was married and we should make a gezeira because maybe they'll think that it's mutter to give yibum to an ex-wife of a deceased brother. Dr. Elika Mishnah. Now this Mishnah is a case that we've discussed numerous times in the past, where we have shnei achim between the shnei achayot. Okay, two brothers married two sisters. Now, the first case keeps it simple. Both of the sisters are yitumot ktanot, and meit ba'ala shel achad mehem, one of them dies, so we now have a yibum that should be chiyuv drabanan, because the marriage, after all, is only drabanan. And we also have an erev drabanan, because she is achot ishto as a drabanan. And so, in this case, we have a classic case of an erev falling to Yibum. The wife of his sister's wife, rather, falls to Yibum. In this case, the whole thing is transposed to a different octave, because we're talking about a drabanan, but it's the same basic pattern. So, halazot, it should say halazot over here, it should say teitzim shum achot isha. She should go ahead now and forget about Yibum, forget about Chalitza, and just simply go free, marry whoever she likes, because she is an Achot Isha. V'chein shtei Charashot. Same thing would be true if you've got two, not Yitomot, but you've got two Charashot, because a Chareshet is also not considered to be a true marriage. The truth is that the Gra takes out the whole piece of Charashot, as we'll see later on why. Now, the case gets interesting, where one of the wives was a gedola, and therefore is really married, and one of the wives was a ketana, and therefore married only mirabana. When we say ketana, of course, we mean a yotoma ketana, where the father didn't accept kiddushin for her. He was not alive, or he was legally not enabled to accept kiddushin. And here what happens is, if you've got a gedola ketana, so then, made by lashala ketana, the ketana obviously is a true achot isha. The surviving brother is really married midiraisa to her sister. He can't entertain thoughts of yibum, and therefore she goes out free without yibum, without chalitza. But how about the other way around? How about if meit ba'ala shel hagdola? Now, the truth is, as far as the Torah is concerned, the yibum should take place, because as far as the Torah is concerned, his relationship with the ketana is not marriage, and there's no iser in taking the sister of a woman with whom you've been having a casual relationship. There's no iser of achot ishto, where there's no ishto. And so he really ought to be doing yibum. The problem is that according to the Rabbanan, she is ishto, and therefore he can't do yibum. Now there's another complicating factor over here. The complicating factor is that the moment that the wife who was married when Uriah dies, if you hold of Yesh Zika, and you recall that that would mean that the very fact that the Torah prescribes the chiyuv of yibum is itself a level of relationship, which is similar to a marriage, that's called Yesh Zika. So if you hold Yesh Zika, then the ketana instantly becomes asura on her husband, her Rabbanan husband, because he is the diuraisa zokuk, as a yavam, to her sister. And that's a diuraisa, and how in the world would he be able now to be sleeping with his so-called wife, who's really just his casual consort, if he's midiraisa attached through Zika to the older sister? So we've got these complicating factors over here. What do we do? Rabbi Eliezer says, look, there's a simple solution. What we do is, we can't simply go ahead and allow the Yibum, because that was the first factor. I mean, Rabbanit is married to her sister. But if she would be Mima'enet, then she would annul the marriage and would be as if he was never married to the sister. Now it's a very simple Yibum. There's a Yibum. He's not married at all. Oh, that girl, that was just an annulled marriage. And now a woman who happens to be the sister of an annulled marriage, which is irrelevant, falls to him for Yibum. He goes right ahead and does Yibum or Chalitza as he wishes. So what we do, therefore, says Rebbe Eliezer, is we explain to the Ketana that this is what we need her to do. And we talk her into going ahead and doing Miyun, so that now she would annul the marriage, and therefore we can now go ahead and get a kosher Yibum, and everything is fine. Rebbe Gamliel says, well, if she would be Mima Enes, you're right, everything would be fine. But we certainly don't try to talk her into doing Miyun. That's something that she has to do. So, im miyana, miyana. If she did Miyun, okay, then she did it, and then the Yibum proceeds. However, im lav, if she didn't do Miyun, tamtina shetagdil, then what we do is we wait. And we can't give Chalitza now, at this point, that would be kosher, because there's no way that we can do a Chalitza if you're currently married now to the sister. And so, we've got a little bit of a problem over here. Had she given the Miyun, there wouldn't have been a problem. Because if we go ahead now and we give her a Chalitza, then we've really messed things up. Because if we do the Chalitza, he is no longer going to be able to continue living with his young bride, the Ketana, because she will now be Achot Chalutzato. And Achot Chalutzato is Asura. And people will say, hey, wait a minute. He was once married to the sister. How now is he married to this little girl, the little sister? So we can't do the Chalitza now without answering her. But what we can do is we can wait until she grows up. At that point, once she grows up, she'll become married to Yeraisa, as we'll see later. And at that point, she is really now creates a state of erva to the woman who fell to him from the original brother who's now deceased. So that erva, of course, is not chayev, it's not yibum, and not chalitza. She can go marry anybody she likes, and there's no problem, even a kohen. And the original woman is okay. Now, the only problem with this is, but what about the Zika? Wasn't she, the young bride, Asura all these years, the moment that her older sister had fallen to Yibum, because her husband now, through Zika, is the equivalent of being married to her? It's clearly, Rebbe Gamliel holds, that's not a problem, because he holds Ein Zika. In other words, that state of Zika, as we saw earlier, is insufficient to create any Isurim, and therefore, he's allowed to remain with his young bride, and once the young bride becomes older and becomes married to Midiraisa, the first brother's wife is now out of the picture. She doesn't need anything, not Yibum and not Chalit. Rabbi Yoshua, now on the other hand, the third sheet in the Mishnah says, Oy vavoy, this is a horrific case. Oy lo al ishto and oy lo al ishtachiv. There's nothing that he can do here properly. Because indeed, the moment that the older sister fell to Yibum, his wife now is Asura because Rabbi Yoshua holds that Yesh Zika. And therefore, he has to motziat ishto beget. So he has to now give a get to his wife because the Ketana was married to him. Now, of course, what is wrong over here about Miyun as opposed to get? In fact, this we'll see later on why that would be true. But there's nothing to do over here. We can't wait until she becomes a Gedela. That's for sure. Because if she's in the middle of this period, she's going to be Asura because of Achot Zikukato. So he has to give a get to his wife, and he has to go ahead and give Chalitza to Eshet Achiv, but he cannot give her a real Yibum because her sister was married mid Rabbanon, and so the Rabbanon create over here an Erva of Achot Ishtod Rabbanon, so how is he supposed to take her? The Chiv, however, remains Midiraisa, so he's going to have to give Chalitza. So basically, he can't do his duty to his brother's first wife with the Miyabimer, and he cannot even keep his first love, the child bride, because she is now Achot Zikukato, an absolute disaster. Asks the Gemara Umishori, is this a good idea, this Eitz of Rebbe Eliezer, that we should be Melamed the Ketana to go in and be Mima'enet? But Tani Bar Kapora, we see in a bright that Bar Kapora taught us, is that the Olam Yidbakatam B'Shloshadvarim V'Yitrachik B'Shloshadvarim. There's three things that people should be careful to do, three things that they should make sure they don't get involved in. The three things that a person should stick to, Yidbak B'Shloshadvarim, first of all, B'Chalita. We recommend not doing Yibum, but rather, if there's something that needs to be done, it should be Chalitza, not Yibum. Behava'at Shalom, person should always attempt to heal a relationship between one person and someone else with whom there's a problem. We're going to go into each one of these later on. Ubehafarat nedarim, even though it says hafarat nedarim, which is usually the mode of canceling a neder between a man and a wife, we really mean over here, in general, hatarat nedarim. So if a person has a neder, instead of being mekayim the neder, and so on, it's better to make sure that you annul the neder. V'yitrachek b'shlosha dvarim, and make sure there's three things that you don't get involved in. Min ha-miyun, which means, b'pashtus, it means advising people to do miyun. Tosis brings even a shita, Rabbi Yochananu, it's a lot more than that, basically shita sagainim, but rather a person should never get involved in the kind of relationship which could even end in miyun. And then, even though there's a takana of such a thing, that's only for rare circumstances where a child was actually being taken advantage of, or an imminent danger being taken advantage of. We're over there, okay, we really want her to be married, but it's not the norm. All right, but certainly as Tosis points out, there's no raya that would be true from this Gemara, because this could simply mean from encouraging miyun b'mizrachi. Minah pikdonot, make sure that you don't take responsibility for somebody who gives you something to take care of, because all you're doing is getting yourself involved in someone else's problems. Again, we're going to go into each one. Umin ha'arvanot, and don't act as a guarantor on a loan. So if that's the case, miyun clearly is a very bad idea, in the sense of encouraging miyun. Why would Rebbe Eliezer says that we should go ahead and be teaching mimanas? I mean, is there a reason to assume that there's a machlokus between Bar Kappor and others on this? And so the Gemara, look, of course he agrees with Bar Kappor, generally speaking, but we got a serious problem over here. We have a case where we need to do Yibum, and we're unable to because of the Kedusha Darabonah, and we've got a very obvious solution to our problem, which is for the girl to be Mema Enes. In a case where the non-Miyun is preventing the Kiyam of a Mitzvah, that's all that he was saying. In this case, in order to be Mekayim the Mitzvah, Miyun the Mitzvah is certainly shiny, is unique. Getting back to this price of Bar Kappor, can we get into that a little bit, Gufa? You said Tony Bar Kappor la'olam yidbak adam b'shlosha dvarim, and you said b'chalitza as one of the three things that a person should do, and that seems to be like Abba Shol said early in the Masechta, the Tanya. We know that Abba Shol shita we saw in the Brisa, Abba Shol omer, as Abba Shol says, akonis edivim tel shem noi, or l'shem yishut, or l'shem davar acher, somebody who thinks his yavama is absolutely beautiful, and he wants her for the joy of the marriage. Or he wants to simply to be looked up as a mature married man. Or for anything else other than doing the mitzvah, ki'ilu pogeya be'erva. The act is no longer an act of a mitzvah, because yibum is a function of the kavona of ha'amadat shem. And therefore, says Abba Shol, I would even go so far as almost saying, Karov Beinai Liota Vlad Mamzer, that the child of such a false Yibum is close to being a Mamzer, the child of an Erva of Eshesachiv Shaloba Makamitzvah. And since it's very difficult to know that there's no ulterior motives, even in yourself, so it's important to make sure that you don't get caught in such a situation. You should go ahead and better do Chalitza. And then the other case you said, Bahava'at Shalom. Why is bringing peace between two people so important? It says, after all, that a person is always supposed to chase after Shalom. V'yoma Rabbi Avu Atir Redifa Redifa. We learn out the meaning of these words from the word Redifa. Take a look. K'tivacha Bakei Shalom V'rot Feyu. Pursue peace. And K'tivatam Rodev Tzedakah V'chesed Imtza Chayim Tzedakah V'kavod. Somebody who does that kind of redifa is going to find life, and is going to find justice and charity, and is going to be rewarded with honor. So that means that we have over here olam haba, in terms of chayim, and tzedakah, and we have olam hazeh, which is kavod. So that means that if someone is redif over here, redif shalom, he becomes the equivalent of this redif. And since it's such an important thing, and it's a mezakeh person, and this is clearly something that is extremely important for a person to be mechuber to. And the other thing that we said is b'hafarat nedarim. Why would that be? That's like Rabbi Nassim. D'tanya Rabbi Natan Omer, hanoder kibul bana bama, somebody who goes ahead and makes an eder, it's as if he builds a bama. Because after all, what is a bama? A bama is the desire to do avodat Hashem, but in your own way. I don't want to go to the Beit HaMikdash and do things the way I'm supposed to do it and come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's home. I want to have things on my own turf, my own terms. So, so too, somebody goes out and makes a neder. The Torah's got plenty of Yisurim, and this guy's going around now and creating Yisurim on himself and Chiyuvim on himself, which are outside of the Torah. So, okay, you think you're doing a wonderful thing and a tremendously religious thing, and in the end, you're basically following your own projections. And somebody who was Mekayim, after making a neder, and he goes ahead and says, well, okay, but I already made it. Instead of going now to be Mevatel the neder, it's Kivui Krival El Korban. There, he was just building the Bama, but if he goes in and he follows through on it, it's like he actually went ahead and he brought the Korban on the Bama, and the same thing is true over here. It's like you really got to the end of your chait here, and God only knows where this is going to lead you. Okay, those are the things that you should be mitdabek to. But Bar Kapora said there were three things that you should be mitrachek. Mitrachek mishlosha dvorim. Mina miyunun. Okay, why miyun? Well, that's because Dilma gadla umichartaba. I mean, maybe when she grows up, she's going to be very upset that she was mima enes, and she was now married to somebody else. And now, if that's the case, who knows what can come of that? I mean, her first husband finds out that she really wanted, and maybe he'll mess up the relationship and say, listen, why don't you tell your husband you want to get divorced, you come back to me, and so on and so forth. So, in order to avoid situations where you're going to damage marriages, it's better not to get involved in the union. Furthermore, we said, you should be misrachik min ha-pikdonot. What is this referring to? This is referring to a case of bibar mata. The baite ki baite dami. The problem over here is that not the concern that you're stam going to lose it or something like that, but since this is someone from your own town who knows your house and views it as his own and he's often there, it may be that he will actually find the money that you had set aside in a place for him to keep it. He'll go ahead and take away the money, and that way he'll sue you for the money and say, where's my money? And then you'll say, I guess I didn't watch it well. So that would be one possibility. Or you could simply say, listen, why should he give it to you? If he's giving it to you, he lives in the same town. He's giving it to you because he wants you to be responsible. He doesn't want to be responsible, so why should you help him out to get rid of his own responsibility? So not a very good idea. And the last thing that we said was, according to Bar Kapora, distance yourself from taking an Eravon. Being an Arev. In other words, don't be a guarantor. What's that talking about? That's talking about Ba'arvei Shel Tzion. We're talking about the people that live in it, the type of thing that happens in Shel Tzion, where everybody who lent money would never go to collect from the borrower, but rather would always go directly to the Arev. And this would be the equivalent of an absolute guarantor, so that he's makabel on himself to be the first one that you can go and that you can collect from. There's another explanation that Rashi brings of Shel Tzion, which is that it's not the name of a place, but rather it refers to the type of transaction. So we call it Shel Tzion because of the way in which the guarantor is treated. Rashi says it would be then a notrik, and it would be a contraction of shlof dots, which means take out now the chiyav from the love and stick yourself in dots, stick yourself in instead to be the one who's going to go after the orev. And that's pretty stupid. The Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, my dechsev, what is the meaning of the pasuk ra'e roa ki orev zar? That it's bad news. Just bad things are going to come when you go ahead and give a guarantee for a stranger, for an alien. But continues the pasuk to say that on the other hand, sone tokim boteach. Notice the word tokia, which is similar to the dotes. Somebody who can't stand putting himself, attaching themselves to somewhere where they shouldn't be, is going to be in better shape. And so it means to say, in other words, ra'a achar ra'a tavon mekablei geirim. Pshat is, terrible things, one thing after another bad, happens to people who go out and they're mekablei geirim, and they go and they, instead of trying to tell them not to become geirim, they try to persuade them it's a good idea to take geirim. But certainly this doesn't mean that one should avoid and taking a person as a ger when it's clear that they really are ger tzedek, as the Tosfos points out. This is only where you go ahead and you try to persuade somebody to be a ger, or you don't go through the procedure of showing
that the person knows exactly what he's doing, like we learn out from the story of Rus. But chas v'shalom, not to be mekabel ager. I mean, that would be like the whole story of Timna, that Timna hayta pelegesh, and Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were punished because out of the fact that they didn't accept Timna, she became the pelegesh to Eliphaz ben Esav and became the mother of Amalek, and that's certainly not a very good thing. And we find throughout history, apparently, there was in those times, as there is today, groups of people who didn't hold of gerim. And Tertullus wants to make sure we don't make that idiotic mistake. And the Yoshua, he points out, was Makabal Zaina, the Rachel Hazaina, and we have Rus, Naama. So that obviously there's no, I mean, we've got plenty of Gemaras, the stories of Hillel and the Ger. So that's not the thing. The thing is to be Makabal Ger, you know, the way certain groups today go ahead being Makabal Ger, or encouraging Ger, that only bad can come of that. Ula Arve Sheltzion. And bad things, only bad things can come to people of these Arevim of the Shlovdots or people of that town of Shaltzion. Ula Tokea Atzimot Varalacha, the idea over here too, of the Tokea, is somebody who now becomes attached over here. This is referring to the Sone Tokim Boteach. That's somebody who does not Sone Tokim, somebody who doesn't hate people who attach themselves, we'll see what that means in a moment, is going to get into trouble. So what we're talking about over here, each one, Mekable Gerim is referring to like Rabbi Chalbo. So Dem Rabbi Chalbo, Koshim Gerim L'Yisrael, Kesapachat Bo'or. That it's to Klal Yisrael, it's as if an individual who has tzaras on his skin, taking into Klal Yisrael, the Sapachat is going to cause damage to your Klal. And this is based on the Nispechu al Beit Yaakov. It's based on the Gemara in Kedushin, that we darshan from a pasuk nispechu, and that's the same lotion as sapachat, so that getting connected to something of by gerim nispechu al beit Yaakov is the same as the word sapachat that we find in the parsha of Tzarat, which means has elements that are bad. What exactly are the bad issues? There are we've spoken about this earlier, but the push of the pshat is that since they don't really know the dinim, and therefore they won't become properly zohir in doing mitzvahs, and they might, because of that, also cause other people to follow them, or rather say just the opposite, because they're so careful, so meticulous, and they're going to do everything super, super halachically, because they don't know what they're doing, and because of that, they cause a limud chayva on Yisrael, and there are many other pshatim as well. So that's one thing. The arve shotzi, on the second thing, why is that? The arve shlovdot. Because they create a shlov dots arevut, and it makes no sense for somebody who's a guarantor to have to go now himself and taking the guy who was the one who did the favor for, who originally made the loan, and go take him to court. Why should you put yourself into somebody else's shoes for no reason? And the last part of the ra'ah, achara'ah, is the tokeh atzmo dvar halachana. What exactly does that mean? Tokeh atzmo dvar halachana tanya. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kola Omer, Ein Lo Torah, Ein Lo Torah. Somebody who says that he doesn't have Torah, he doesn't know anything about Torah. So he has, indeed, no schar for Torah. Well, he's a pshita. I mean, if he isn't learning, how is he going to get schar for learning? What does Rabbi Yossi mean? Ela Kola Omer, Ein Lo, Ela Torah. What it means is, somebody's tokeh atzmo for Torah. Oh, I learn. And that's all. But I'm not talking about mitzvahs. So the name of Ela Torah, so he doesn't have a scar of the mitzvah if he didn't do it. Well, we should hope that. How is that helping? No, I'm sorry. Kol Omer Ein Lo Torah means Ein Lo Afilo Torah. That's the point. He doesn't even get schar for learning the Torah either. My time, huh? What's wrong with them? I mean, at least he learned, so he didn't do mitzvahs. The reason is, Omer of Papa, Omer Kol Matem Vaasitem. The Torah puts together the limud with the asiyah. Kol She Yeshno Vaasiyah Yeshno Bilimida. Somebody who is going to apply his learning, and he's makabel on himself the chiyuvim of the mitzvahs and the application of his Torah, so then he's included in the mitzvah of the limud. But kol she'eino ba'asiyah, eino b'lemida. If he's not included in the set of the doers of mitzvahs, he's not included in the learners that could possibly be makabel schar for what it is that they're doing. V'bayisema, another way of understanding what Rabbi Yossi said was, is like this. Liyolam k'deka amritu mi'ikara. It means the way we originally took it to mean. Kol ha'omer, ein lo ela Torah, ein lo ela Torah. Somebody says he doesn't do mitzvahs,
he has Torah, he does, he indeed, he has schutz for Torah. And so, I mean, isn't that clear? We asked before, it's pshita. Okay, so here's lotzrich lekamigmar la'achrini v'azl la'avd. Here we're talking about a case where he is not only learning Torah, he's teaching Torah. And the people that he teach go out, and they're mekayim all of the things that he taught them. But he himself does it. So, you might have thought, if we hadn't said Rav Yossi's statement, you might have thought that it's as if, since he's the source of the dinim and the source of the encouragement of people to do those mitzvahs, so maybe he should also get schar because of their asiyah. Come hashmon, therefore, comes on Rav Yossi to say that he will not get any schar, because if he himself doesn't do the mitzvahs, he doesn't get schar, even though he was the one that was going through his teaching the other people to mitzvahs. Okay, so, but however we learn it, the Tokeh Atzmo L'Dvar Halacha is somebody who is stuck to specifically only the Halacha and not the mitzvahs. So that either he doesn't get schar at all, or he doesn't get schar for mitzvahs of others, but there may be a completely different explanation of the whole thing. And going back now to what it was that Rabbi Yitzchak said. Maybe Rabbi Yitzchak, when he said Tokeh Atzmo L'Dvar Halacha, wasn't referring to these cases. Person who says the way Yossi was saying it, Eino Ela Torah. He was talking about a Dayanada Ati Din Lekamei. He was talking about this. Here's a judge, and there's now a question of halacha. The Gamar Halacha, Medami Milta La Milta. And he has learned in the past a halacha. I mean, after all, he went through the Shulchan Aruch, and it sounds, he compares this case to the case that he had learned, and he therefore says, this and this is the halacha. But he has a Rebbe, and he really could have gone over and discussed it with him and decided whether it really is completely the case as he understood it, the original case, even though it isn't precisely the same. But he gets attached. In other words, he becomes basically stuck in his past. This is the way I used to understand it. This is the way I'm going to stick with it. And he's not going to rethink the situation because of possible new factors that are being brought before him. So in order, because he does that, so he becomes tokua. Tokua means he's like, he's stuck. He can't move. And this is a real disaster. Such a thing only bad can come of. The Omer of Shulba Rechmeni, Omer Rabbi Yonatan, Lo'olam Yireh Dayan Natzmo Kilu Cher Monachat Lo'ben Yireh Chotav. A judge is a very, very tough situation. He should always look at himself as if he is about to be sliced into two. There's a sharp sword, and it's right about to cut him right through his most sensitive parts. And you know where he's going to fall into two pieces? Straight into hell. And why does Shlomo HaMelech have these 60 Giborim, all of whom are obviously Giborim Betera, they're all Dayanim, be Giborei Yisrael. And these Giborei Yisrael around him, Kulam Achuzei Cherev, they're all basically right up there with the sword between their legs. Melumadei milchama, ish harba yirechomi pachad b'leilot. These people are terrified. So they're terrified because of fear of the night. And what's the night? The ultimate night, the greatest darkness is hell itself. Mipachad shogeinom shedom alalayla. So that means that if a person is not ready to rethink what it is that he's thought in the past and discuss it and try to work it out, and he's just stuck where he was, the guy is basically doomed to hell. Rabbi Gamliel on there. The next piece that we had in the Mishnah was Rabbi Gamliel's statement of saying, okay, look, we can't encourage her to do miyana miyana. It would be very nice if she does this on her own, but we don't give any advice to a person to do miyan. And if she's not mimanis, so then we wait to let the katana continue to be his wife, his dear child bride, until she becomes a gedela. At that point, she'll become a real erva. And now the yavama won't require yibum and won't require chalitza either, and everything will be fine. My time at Rabbi Gamliel. What is Rabbi Gamliel's basis for saying that there won't be a need for Yibum or Chalitza for the sister who falls from the deceased brother to whom she was married, Midiraisa? Is it because Mishum de Kasava Kedushik Tana Mitla Tolu, Vichi Godlu Godli Bahadda, and Afa Gavdaloba? Is the point over here that basically, it's not that we need to redo the marriage. It's that we go ahead and we make a kedusha on a ketana. That kedusha is basically suspended in the sense that at the moment that she becomes a gedola and the kinyan can be chal, it grows now with her. And then at that point, goes into effect.
So this would be true even if there was no additional bia from the moment that she became a gedola, and there wasn't any new kinyan, but nonetheless she's automatically a gedola.
I'd like to understand Rabbi Gamliel's reasoning. Rabbi Elazar asked Rav, is the reason because mishum dekasaver kedusha ketana mitla tolo vikigadlo gadli bahada afagav delo baal? There's a problem over here because lamaisa, in reality, the yevama was married legally to the first brother before anything happens with the second sister, who is currently a ketana. So pashtas, the kedushin of the ketana, even if afterwards she becomes a gedola and so on, she can't now take the place to be deicha something which happened at the time, the death of the first brother, at the time there was a chiyuv. So, I mean, don't we have to deal with that chiyuv? Can we simply cancel the chiyuv by creating an impossibility now to go ahead with the yibum? So perhaps the approach would be that initially when they get married, even though the kinyan right now can't be completely chal because she's a ketana, but the act of the kinyan is viewed as if it awaits the time that she's a gedola, at which point she's capable of legally fulfilling that kinyan, and at that point we see it as taking place, as if it took place before even the first yevama had fallen to yibum. So it takes place ki'ilu retroactively, and we view that act, which was the act of a ketana, to be in abeyance. So it's sort of hanging there and waiting to be chal as soon as it's possible. Once it's possible, it redefines the whole state. Now, obviously, this is how Rashi learns. Obviously, there's a lot of problems in what the mechanisms could possibly be to make something happen retroactively. A lot of Rishonim argue, and we've got a problem because, I mean, Rashi is dealing with the issue which he's got to deal with, and that is, on this side, as we're going to see in a moment, on this side of the question that Rabbi Elazar is wondering, he seems to be assuming that there has to be a way that we can look at the Kiddushin as coming before the Chiyuv of Yibum of the Gedola. So, or perhaps, he says, Dilma, maybe there's another question over here. Maybe the way that he's learning it is that there's no such problem. That is, maybe he holds, b'shum dekasova, ha-mekadish achot yevama, niftra yevama, v'alchama. That even once a yevama falls to Yibum, you were no way married to her sister. If you go ahead now and marry her sister, so then that marriage indeed is going to make it impossible to do Yibum, takes off the entire chiyuv of Yibum or Chalitza, even though at the time that the husband died, the time that the brother died, there was a chiyuv of Yibum, it now simply disappears because it cannot ever be concluded, since she's now a erva forever and erva and ever. So in that case, I mean, the practical difference here between the two would be that Yibal in Midilo Baalo, according to this approach, only if indeed there was a subsequent kinyan of his original child bride. So it was if he had slept with her again as she became a gedola, so then fine, he could be docha the Yibum, and now there's no chiyuv of Yibum or Chalitza. But if he hadn't slept with her, so what in the world is the use of the fact that she's a gedola? Answered Rav, Rav answered Rabbi Elazar and said, certainly, there's no question that it's because of the fact that even if it was done afterwards, it's all over, and there can't be a yibum, but only because it's a real kedusha now, and therefore, there's no possible way that this could work other than by getting a new kedusha. On Rav Sheshi, Rav Sheshi said, that's crazy. I mean, Kinayim v'shachiv Rav amal ha-shmaitza. I mean, Rav said that. If he said it, then he must have been half asleep. I mean, there's no way that Rav could possibly, a great man like that, if he was fully conscious, could have said something so crazy. The Tanya, we learned in a Brais, ha-mekadesh ha-ta-ketana kiddushah tuluyim. Somebody's mekadesh ha-ketana, her kiddushin is sort of hanging. Now, what exactly is that supposed to be? My tuluyim. I mean, the only possible meaning of such a thing is love ki gadla gadli badaf gadla ba. Doesn't mean that it's hanging till such time she becomes a gedela. And at that point, even without bia, the kedusha now is consummated as a kinyan. So even if there was no bia, that would be true. And that's the first tzad of the way Rabbi Elazar said it. Not the way Rav is saying it now. Omalei Rav Mered Rav Nachman. No. Ma milta yiktana. Mitla talya v'kaima. Maybe what it means is that the din now of this ketana is holding now in the middle of the year, meaning that we have to see what happens vis-a-vis any yibum that would be chal. Ibalin, if you go ahead now and he'll sleep, but then it becomes now at that point, it becomes a kedushin d'oraisa, v'ilo bo'alo. And if not, so then what can you do? It's not going to be a d'oraisa. That means that all along she feels that she's hanging in the air. D'amra, she says to herself, you know, hu adif minoi. In certain ways, he can do like whatever he wants, But, I mean, yeah, he could always give me a get. But on the other hand, I could always give him a mina. I've also got ways out of this. So neither of them basically feels very comfortable with this, because it's like it's hanging. Since both the male and the female can all on their own cancel this marriage, either by get or by mian, so that discomfort basically makes her feel that it's up in the air. And that's the point, up in the air. But it doesn't mean up in the air to be chal automatically. If that's what the brisa means, then we don't have a problem with the way that Rav Paskin explained Rabbi Lazar's approach as being the second approach.